You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
What is happening?
It's all I don't know.
You're listening to the AME Radio Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the AME Radio Show, the show that is the voice of artists and entertainers everywhere, and we have a great show for you guys today as we drive to work on our Friday morning rush hour drive show. And you know what? We're getting ready to start the weekend off right. We're going to close out the work week with a strong finish, and we're going to just enjoy the weekend. That's what we're planning on doing, and I hope that when we get done with the show today, you're going to be inspired to go try something new and maybe challenge yourself a little bit, because I think that's very important. And the best time to be able to challenge yourself is not only during the work week, but on the weekends too. And what I mean by that is maybe you're picking up a sport that you can't necessarily do outside of work because, you know, you're busy or you're tired. Or you can go try something like mountain climbing or surfing or something like that. Maybe it's an art form. I don't know what it is, but take the time to discover yourself. I think that's very important in our lives. And today, we have some great guests coming up, and I know that they're going to inspire you because of what they do. Now, first, we're going to have Massimo Dobrovic, and he is an Italian-born actor who talks about film in Italy. So he's going to give you a different perspective of how film is over there compared to over here. And you know what? It's fascinating. And he's going to be talking about his brand new projects that he has coming out in the works that I think you guys are going to want to check out. And then we have Nordine Zuvereg. He is a former Mr. World and Mr. Universe. He's a high performance coach, wellness expert, and he's a best-selling author. So he's going to pump you up and get you just motivated to try something new with your life. And you know what? Coming from somebody that was a Mr. World and Mr. Universe, he knows what it takes to make something happen. Because I'll tell you what, that's a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work, and it's fascinating. We've never had somebody on the show that has actually been a Mr. World and Mr. Universe, so I'm excited to talk to them as well. And we are going to continue the discussion on interpretation and perception. And this is something I have found fascinating, and I'm going to be doing another musical example of how that happens. And we're going to be doing that in just a few minutes. But before we get into any of this stuff, please check out my website. It's www.theamemagazine.com. You will be able to check it out anytime you want. It is the AME Experience, so you'll be seeing links to our magazine, to our television, and our radio show. And while you're on any of these platforms, you'll be able to see anything that we have done and anything that we have coming up. You will also be able to get all the download links to our cool apps on Apple and Android, and you'll be able to get the links to our social media platforms as well. And we're trying to grow this, guys. So we just started up and we branched off of our mothership, I guess you could say, social media network. So we're trying to grow up our own unique people as well. So be a part of that conversation. And if you are an artist, an entertainer, or author, or anything that that has to do with the arts, and you want to get on this show, please go to our website and let us know who you are and what you do, and we'd be happy to try to work to get you on here. All you have to have is a little bit of passion and inspiration behind you, and we will help take you to that next level. Okay, guys, so what I'm going to be doing right now is we're going to be continuing on with our discussion, like I said, of interpretation and perception. And remember, when two people see things, they not only see it differently, they'll never see it exactly the same. Somebody will find something slightly different in it, and then their interpretation of that is how they want to, you know, express it to the world. And we're going to be doing a song here that is done 50 years apart, which is pretty incredible, and two totally different interpretations of the same song. The first one we're going to be hearing from is from Peter, Paul, and Mary. They were a folk band that was very popular in the 60s and 70s, and this came out in the late 60s, and it is called Leaving on a Jet Plane. Then what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going to a lady named Chantal Krevishuk, and she sings a version of this that was played on Armageddon. And her sound is extremely melodic and almost to the point of being a little bit hypnotic as well. It's got a great tune to it. And you know what? I love both versions. That's what I love about this. They're so completely different, but yet they are so uniquely the same. So we're going to be playing first, starting off with the original with Peter, Paul, and Mary, and then we're going to be going to Chantel's version. So we'll be back after this to talk about the differences and see what you guys think. So let's here we're going on right now with the first version of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll wear your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the time I won't have to say. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Outside your door, I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome, I could die. So kiss me. Thank you.
every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll wear your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you're waiting for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm
So what did you think? You know, I honestly, I love both of them. I think they both did a great job. And what's amazing is that they have such a unique style about each one of them. And it's amazing that they're 40 years apart, but yeah, like I said, they're very much the same. There's really not much that changed except for their interpretation of how it goes out. And of course, the style of music from you know, the 50s and 60s compared to the style of the late 90s, early 2000s. And I just really like both of these versions, and I hope you guys did too. So if you tell me what you think. What do you think of interpretation and perception? Write on our wall on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. Let me know what you think, and let the world know what you think about these particular songs. And if you have your own idea of it, and you know there's a couple of versions that you know, let us know. We might be able to put that on here and show the differences between them as well. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have Massimo on the line, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Gladdy, the dachshund, the face of Gladdy's Goodies. Are you worried about your pet's health? My parents were too, especially since I developed pancreatitis. They couldn't find any treats I could eat, so they made some. Our natural treats are healthy for all dogs, with and without health issues. We have lots of delicious flavors like chicken, turkey, salmon, sweet potato, beef, and more. With our homemade treats, you won't worry about the contents because they have no chemicals, fillers, or bad ingredients. Go to GladdysGoodies.com now to get your fur friend a bag and pick them up some swag while you're there. You'll be glad you did. Remember, we have the treats and swag to make their tails wag. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com. Again, that's GladdysGoodies.com.
Hey guys, it's Michael Campion, and I play Jackson Fuller on Fuller House. I just want to say, Fuller House Season 4, it's coming to Netflix real soon, so be sure to tune in sometime towards the end of the year. Thank you, guys.
Hey everyone, it's Lulu Lambrose from Stuck in the Middle, and you are listening to AME Radio Show.
I don't know why they don't explode. You got your hands in my back pockets and Sam Cooke singing on the radio.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We have on the line with us our special guest. His name is Massimo Dobrovic. He is an actor, and we have seen him in a couple of... Actually, he's got a lot of stuff to his credit right now, but I know some of the most recent stuff is Age of the Living Dead and Feel the Dead, and he's got some new stuff coming out that he's really excited to talk to you guys about, and we're going to talk to him about his love of acting and, you know, where he came from in Italy and so much more. So welcome to the show, Massimo. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be your guest today. I'm doing wonderful, thanks. Here in Hollywood, it's a great day today.
Well, I'm glad that you're having a great day. I know over here it's been a little bit raining, but that's okay. You know where we are, but at least you guys are having fun in the sun. That's what California's known for, right?
Yes, it has been unusually hot here in Hollywood. 95 degrees yesterday, 105 the day before. Very humid, but we are having a really hot summer this summer here.
Wow. Yeah, I have heard this. I have heard the weather out there has been pretty rough recently, but hopefully you're staying cool and you know, maybe chilling out at the beach or you're going to, you know, do a lot of work. So hopefully you're in a nice air-conditioned studio or something like that.
Yes, by the God, we're Hollywood students. That's where I am right now. At the God, where they shoot Dexter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, right here. The Dexter Studios.
Well, you got a pretty interesting background, and I'm really excited to talk to you about this. Now, you were born and raised in Italy, and obviously you've come over here, and you're picking up what you love to do, but what's it like for film over in Italy? I mean, do they have the same passion for it as they do here in the States, or is it a little bit different?
You know, the film industry in Italy is extremely different. For many, many years, until maybe 5 or 6 or maybe even 10 years ago, the only movies that were able to be made in Italy are movies that were financed by the government. Mm-hmm. The film industry in Italy was strictly connected to the government, and directors and producers would go to the government, submit their scripts, ask for funds, and they would be funded by the government. Of course, if you are waiting for your movie to be funded by the government, you can wait 10, 20, 30 years or never be funded. And also the government has limited funds, which means they could only fund like 5 or 6 movies a year. Now, with Italy 5, 6 years ago giving a big tax break to everybody that is shooting in Italy, you know, like a 30% tax break if you shoot there, or also to Italian production, that slowly is changing. Mm. So a lot of American productions are coming there. A lot of small new independent productions are starting to form in Italy. And so now we slowly see, with the event of digital media, the digital platforms, we see that slowly things are changing. The film industry, now we have a lot more independent movies, movies that are made for digital media, for digital outlets, which are great. And so we are not now only waiting for the government to finance the movies.
Well, that's good. And, you know, I've seen a lot of foreign films, and they're fantastic. And, you know, that's a shame that you kind of have to wait sometimes for that long. I mean, you could literally have a blockbuster hit that just is never going to get funded, and that's terrible.
Yes, you know, I think we have a lot of wonderful, talented directors and actors and really people that are great cinematographers. And I'm happy that things are changing and there is more work. And also, like, the event of the digital platforms, it's helping that a lot.
Mm-hmm. So what was one of the first movies you saw that made you want to say, you know, this is something I want to do with my life?
You know, there are a lot of movies. But for sure, you know, when I was very young, when Titanic came out,
mm-hmm.
and so when I saw Titanic for the first time, when you know, DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, and this an amazing director, James Cameron. That was the movie that told me, that they spoke to my soul and said, you gotta work in the industry. You gotta do that. That's your passion. That's what drives me every day, working in movies like that. And, you know, that's the goal. And so when I saw Titanic for the first time and I was maybe like 10 years old, I said, yeah, that's it. I want to work in the movies. That's the career I want to pursue. And, that was the movie that hooked me up.
Wow. You know, I love that movie, too. And it actually got my spark, you know, ignited to learn more about the Titanic. And blew me away was that I didn't realize that the Titanic crashed so close to the United States boundary. It's maybe about 100 miles off the coast of Newfoundland. And I was like, wow, I thought it crashed like way out in the Atlantic somewhere, but it was really kind of close to us. And that just blew me away.
Yeah, true. Yes. Also when I did the research, and they had also a Titanic exhibition, recently here in LA, which I went to see. Mm-hmm. It was super fascinating. And that's where you learn all the history and how everything really went, the real event. Mm-hmm. It was really something that unbelievable.
So, what do you like the most about being an actor? Is it being able to tell a story, play somebody that you never thought you could play, and get in somebody else's mind? Is it the traveling to different places? What do you like the most about being an actor?
The art, the pure love for the art. You know, acting is an art, like painting and like any other. I grew up with this art in the theater. Mm-hmm. So I work a lot in the theaters, and to me, being able to tell stories in front of a live audience in the theater, we don't have a second take, a third take, a fourth take. It's something that it's really rewarding very much as an artist. And also a second reason is the reason why I am an actor is because I believe in a one united world. I believe in one peaceful world, and I think we as actors, we as artists, can influence and make this world a better place. So my purpose as an actor is really to unite this world, to make this world a better place, and to give back. For me, it's all about giving back, and with acting, telling stories, being able to really tell people that there are other realities, there are beautiful places in the world. That's the main purpose. That's like a pure love for this profession.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things I look forward to after especially a very stressful day at work is coming home, sitting down, watching some really good stuff that just helps me just drift away from my problems, even for a little bit. And sometimes it's fun to watch other people go through problems so you don't feel as bad as they have it. You know, it's like, man, that guy's about ready to get cut up. I'm glad I'm not in that situation. So, I mean, it does have a lot of amazing qualities to people, and it tells stories, it brings families together, and that's what I think I love the most about enjoying the works that people like you do.
Exactly, yeah. That's what makes you go on, and even when there are ups and downs in this profession, there are a lot of ups and downs, that's what really, the rage, the drive that you have inside of you, that's what makes you go forward every day. That's what makes you stand up again every time you fail. The pure love, you know, because you cannot, this profession is such an abstract profession that you cannot do it for any other reason.
Mm-hmm. So, you came over here to America, you went to go be an actor. Was it difficult to transition from Italy to the United States, and did you have a hard time finding work at first?
I came to Hollywood when I was 18 years old, really young. Before I was fortunate enough that I was in an English high school, so I already knew English when I came here. Mm-hmm. And I spoke English, so that helped me. While I was at the academy, when you are going to the academy for 3 years, you are not allowed to audition, so I was not allowed to get any type of work. Mm-hmm. For the first 3 years I was in Hollywood. Once I graduated from the academy, I started auditioning. Yes, in the beginning, I couldn't get any paid work at all. So I had to do a lot of student movies to just have a reel. Because without a reel, you can't get an agent or a manager or any kind of representation. So you audition for like hundreds and hundreds of student movies and small independent movies. And you hope that somebody will, that you will book that, an audition in that world. And then slowly I started booking those auditions, and I started building a reel. I started building a reel that was good enough to get me into a door of an agent. That reel then got me representation, but it took me like another 2 years to do that. So another 3, maybe altogether it was like 5-6 years just for me to get like a good real auditioning in the real world with real like SAG-AFTRA production. Then I stayed here that I couldn't get any work whatsoever for another 2 years. So I decided to move back to Italy. I moved back to Rome and I started doing some soap operas and some TV series here and there around Europe for 5 years. Then after I was working 3-4 years in around Europe, then I couldn't get any work there anymore. So I was like thinking, oh my God, now I can't get here anymore. So maybe I should just apply for a working visa, try to go back to Hollywood where I started, where everything started, and see if maybe now that I gained a lot of experience in the real world in Europe, that's going to help me get more experience in Hollywood. So came back, got a working permit, got the green card, all that. I became SAG-AFTRA with a web series I did, which was SAG-AFTRA, thank God, and then the web series helped me get my SAG-AFTRA card. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, slowly starting auditioning for movies that went straight to DVDs, movies that went straight to digital or straight to on-demand, and slowly built my acting career from there.
Wow. Now,
this year, it's 15 years since I first came to Hollywood.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, along that way, I'm sure somebody has sat you down and gave you some advice that you just hold dear to your heart about this industry and about just life in general. Do you have one of those that you would like to share with us?
I think there is one that stands above all of them. There are many of them that I repeat to myself every day, you know, depending if I have a tough audition that I have to go through, but the most important that I really wake up every day is I'm really grateful and thankful for what I have in my life, for who I am, and I promise I will never give up. Mm-hmm. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how tough, never give up. Never give up. Because when you give up, it's over. And that's the one advice is to never give up.
That is absolutely true. And especially as an artist, you get a lot of no's, you get a lot of yeses, and it can be very frustrating. And you can't give up. That's one of the things that I have always told people, that if you're going to get into the arts, never give up. It's going to get tough. It's going to get great. And you're going to have, you know, great times, and you're going to have tough times. But just keep sticking to it. And if you believe in yourself and you can make it, you will be able to make it in this industry.
Exactly. Yes, it's like a marathon, you know. You run the marathon. It's 20 miles, 30 miles, and it means you cannot do it anymore. And the last person that it's like that comes to the arrival of the marathon is the one who wins,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if the one and if the last person standing is the one that's gonna win, and it's the same thing here. You have to keep going 20 years, 30 years. And I don't believe in that thing that says you make it. Like the make it thing, it's just small achievements along the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you celebrate small successes along the road. There is no that one thing you made it. That's it. A show can get canceled, a movie doesn't get distributed well, or whatever. Anything can happen. That's why you have to celebrate the small successes along the road.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, you got some really cool stuff coming up in the works here. I see that you have 2 miniseries and a actual full-length movie, which is pretty interesting. So, tell us a little bit about these miniseries and where are they going to be viewed?
Age of the Living Dead, it's a great miniseries that we shot with amazing directors and creators, Simon Phillips, Paul Tanter, the entire cast, Eve Morrow, Dave Meadows, Stella Warren, Bill Oberst, Jr., Cindy Pickett, we're all very excited. The TV series is 6 episodes about vampires, but it's a different take on vampire world. It's something that you guys haven't seen before. It's something very innovative. A new concept. So the TV series has already been airing around the world internationally. We are waiting for our North America date, which will be, I cannot tell you what time and which channel yet, but you gotta stay tuned. And another miniseries, it's called Feel the Dead, director John Rio, with Billy McNamara and Stella Warren as well. And other wonderful actors and directors and producers like Goldman, I have Dan, I have Paul Dumkes. And this series has been shot in on Mount Etna in Sicily, in Italy. So I went back to Italy after 5 years not working in my home country. It was nice to go back and work there. We were shooting on in the middle of the snow on an active volcano. We even had an eruption one night at 3 o'clock in the morning. The volcano erupted. That was fun. And that miniseries about zombies. Zombies coming out from everywhere. I'm playing an Italian soldier. And that's going to be also a very cool TV series. And it's also going to premiere this fall.
Wow. Now, what are some of your characters in these miniseries? What do you play?
In Edge of the Living Dead, I play a king of all vampires. I'm the king that comes from the original bloodline of the vampires. Mm. And it's really cool. In the Field of the Dead, I play a soldier, an Italian soldier, that tries to stop this epidemic.
You know, you are involved in a lot of these, like, horror flick type of, it seems like vampires and stuff like that. Is there a big lore for vampires in Italy?
If there is a big following, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Yes, a lot. You know, the horror genre in Italy has a big, big audience, because we have a lot of wonderful horror directors, and they developed the horror genre since the 60s and the 70s. They were like, they made the history of, when horror was not yet popular around the world. It was popular when the whole Italian cinema had the golden age. So it became really popular. Vampires everywhere. The people really love the vampires and vampirism. They are big fans because we have a lot of places in Italy that you can go visit, historical places that you can go visit, and there are some vampire stories connected to them, or myths or legends, and it's really fun to discover those.
Mm. Now, you are also in a pretty big movie coming out. You said it has two titles, which is The Secret of Karma and Behind the Curtain of the Night. So tell me a little bit about this, and what do you play in it, and what's this movie all about?
This movie was so amazing to shoot, and I was so thrilled to be able to work with Marcia Croft, Brandon Fraser, Don Oliveri, and all the wonderful Czech actors. We shot around the entire Czech Republic. It's a movie about life after death, the reincarnation, and it's set in the present, past, and in the future. And I play a character that is present in all three timelines. So I'm in the past, I'm in the present, I'm in the future. And it's a movie that's going to come out this fall. It's fantastic. You guys got to watch it. It's how a person was dead for 8 minutes and then became alive again. And I cannot tell you anything else because it's super fascinating and it's such a unique story. This story was, we made a movie based on a best-selling novel in the Czech Republic. This has been a best-selling novel for many years there. And then we made a movie based on this amazing book.
That sounds very interesting. So we're just about out of time. And I want you to be able to tell everybody how they can follow you, if they have any social media networks. And, of course, once again, tell everybody where these projects that you're working on will be seen and aired.
So you can follow me at Dobrovich Massimo, DobrovichMassimo, on any social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere. And the projects are coming out in the fall, on cable, on demand, on DVD, at your best DVD store. You can pick up the DVDs or Blu-rays at the store this fall. And thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be here with you on the show today.
Well, I'm glad you're able to join me. This has been a lot of fun. And we wish you all the best with all the other things that you have coming out. And I'm hoping that they're going to be great successes for you. And I'd love to get you back on to talk about some of the new things that you have coming up after these start airing.
Absolutely, yes. I'll be back anytime you want.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Massimo, and have a great day.
You too. Have a great week.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more, so don't go anywhere.
Do you love horror? The strange and unusual. Fantasy creatures or urban legends. Do you want to step inside a dream or nightmare? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out internationally exhibiting artist Jason Dowd and his award-winning photographic collections by visiting www.imaginationartstudios.com. Get inside his mind and experience his inner weird.
This is Andrea Tantaros from the Fox News Channel and author of the new bestseller, Tied Up the Knots. You're listening to AME Radio.
Hi there, this is Kim Coles, and I am a big fan of the AME Radio Show.
Welcome back, everybody. We have a line with us, our special guest. His name is Nordin Zuareg. He is a Mr. World and Mr. Universe 1986 and 1988, which is pretty impressive. He's also a high-performance coach and a wellness expert, and we're going to talk to him about everything that he has done and what he has advice for you guys along the way. So welcome, Nordin, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Nice talking to you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So I've never had the chance to talk to a Mr. Universe or Mr. World before, so this is pretty impressive for me. I guess we'll start with that because I think that kind of leads into the rest of your abilities and what you've come along with, because it's got to take a lot of dedication and sacrifices and everything to become a Mr. World and Mr. Universe. So what made you decide this is what you wanted to try to do in your life?
Well, it was not always what I wanted to do, Jason. In life, sometimes you stumble upon things that you never thought you'd do, you know, and that's one of those cases. You know, when I grew up, I was a skinny guy, you know, at 19 years old, I weighed 108 pounds. You know, all my sisters were bigger than me, so I had to do something about it, you know, not to mention the bullies, you know, beating me up almost every day since I was, you know, young enough to go to school. Mm-hmm. You know, so that, I think the bullies and the, you know, the trauma that I was going through, I think led me to want to do something, you know, about it and get me out of my misery. And so I wanted to do that, and one day I came in, you know, if you allow me to give you a brief story, because the story is a long story, but I'm going to give you a brief, you know, synopsis. You know, I came home from one of those miserable days at school where I suffer, you know, the bullies, both the teachers and the schoolmates alike. So I come in the house and everybody's watching a program on TV, and there you go, there's a Russian gymnast on the screen, and I saw this beautiful body, chiseled body, and, you know, something prompted me, you know, and it prompted the question, why can't I, you know, have this body? Mm-hmm. And then for you know, for a second, I felt so strange because I got an answer, and the answer was, you can do it. And this is not to be, you know, to answer in a woo-woo way. I'm telling you, this is what happened. I was so in search, you know, for something to get me out of my misery that when I saw that, I fell in love with that body. And I talk about it in great length in Mind Over Body, published by Warner Book Springboard in 2007. So I identified, I call it the core, true core desire. So I identified to that, and that in turn turned into a power of intention. I wanted to do whatever it took to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a gymnastic club, and that was not the appropriate plan because I kept on, I was so skinny, Jason, that I kept on breaking my bones, you know, and both my wrists were broken in a competition doing the Puma horse, and the judges, as you know, there's two judges, each apparatus, and I was suffering, they didn't want me to stop, otherwise I was going to have a zero. And, you know, ironically, I was thinking about the team. What if I fail? If I stop, you know, the team is going to suffer the consequences. I wasn't even thinking about myself. Suffering, and I was, you know, I continued doing it. The results I had to broken wrists. And so the coach told me, you know what, you can't keep on doing this. You're going to kill yourself. Why don't you go and put some meat on that body? And that's how I joined the gym, and you know, the rest is history.
Wow, that must have taken a lot of dedication to do, though. I mean, I can only imagine. I you know, coming from a bullied background myself, I know what it's like. And one of the things I did is I took up karate, and that really kind of it gave me the focus I was looking forward to. You know, it's like it taught me self-control, and it taught me to appreciate myself and how to get myself out of nasty situations without physically attacking it. You know what I mean? So that was good for me, and I'm glad that worked for you. So how long did it take you to get to this point, to where you started off here, to where you became Mr. Universe and Mr. World?
Well, first, Jason, to answer your question, your previous question about it takes dedication. Did it take dedication for me? Of course, yes, but it didn't. You know, dedication was not the first thing that came to me. You know, dedication was what I call the content. What about the context? Everything has a context and a content. The context, you know, maybe philosophical, spiritual, was the passion. If you don't have a passion, if you don't fall in love with a passion, I don't think that the determination and willpower will follow. You know what I mean? So for me, you know, when I started working out, I felt, you know, so good about it. And it was, I became skillful, so to speak. You know, the notion that, you know, many speakers out there on stage tell people to find a passion. Well, people may be like, you know, inspired, motivated. Then when they're listening to the speaker, when they go home, they question themselves, but what kind of passion? There's so many things that we could do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So before the passion comes, the skill, okay? So you get good at a skill. For me, it was working out, and I got good at it, you know? And not only that, but my body was responding so well. So the more my body was responding, the more I saw results, the more dedicated I became, and the more passionate I became about what I was doing. So it became so intense to me that I made it a profession, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So first came this willingness to do something. You know, I tell people when they're looking for a passion, I say, you know what, you don't have to have it in your head. You can start doing something and see if you can develop that skill. Once you develop that skill, you develop a passion for it, and that can take you to the top. So that's exactly what happened to me. You know, I picked up bodybuilding, and I was not so good at it in the beginning. Of course, Jason, of course. Mm-hmm. I was afraid. You know, one of the things that we all need to understand is that if we are operating from fear, you know, does three or four things. I think, you know, the science now says that the fight and fight response of stress, you know, is fighting, you know, flying. Those are three. And the third one is paralyzed. You know, you freeze. So mm-hmm. fight, freeze, and fly. So all these things, three things happened when I joined the gym. Of course, I saw the big guys. And I was 108 pounds, Jason. You imagine?
Yeah.
You know? And those guys, I had to wait each time until the guys would finish so I can go and use the equipment. I was so terrified to ask them so I could use the equipment. You know, so that, I think, was stemmed from my fear of being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
So this being said, I got, like I said, passionate about it. And, you know, the result came really quick. I fell in love with it, and I took it to the top.
You know, what you said along the way with how you got to where you are, that sounds like it's a formula that you could use for anything that you want to do in life.
Anything. And I continued doing this. You know, I used, you know, one of the guys that, you know, was able to use the same, you know, method, so to speak, or formula, mm-hmm. as you just eloquently mentioned it, is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
He's used the same way he's built his body to become who he is now, to become the highest paid body, Hollywood actor, to become a governor. And I think if he was born in the U.S., he would have no doubt became a president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did he do it? Well, it's not only willpower. I want the listeners to listen and to understand. If you're only using willpower, it's only a matter of time before that willpower is depleted. Okay, so you need something that is going to refuel that willpower when it's down, when it's depleted. Because trust me, it will be mm-hmm. depleted. And that is, to me, a passion. Passion fuels your willpower.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And for me, I've done the same thing, Jason, over and over and over. Okay? From who would have known that a wicked baby, a baby that was born premature from a 15-year-old illiterate Bedouin, in the middle of a desert, in a truck, okay, a French army truck, will become one day Miss Universe, and end up working with Oprah, Barbara Streisand, Sophia Loren, John Kerry, Jim Carrey, Sugar Ray Leonard. You know what I mean? Who would have even thought that? And forget about the language. I didn't speak your language. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, English is only my fourth language.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I've written a book, and I'm on writing others now. So what I'm saying, Jason, is to use the same methodology. First, to identify what the hell you want, and that is, you know, only your heart can tell you this. You know, you can identify something from the ego point of view. Okay, I want to be this or that. But if your heart is not giving you the green light, forget it. That passion, you can use all the dedication or willpower you want. It's not going to happen. It's not going to take you all the way to the top. You
right.
may succeed a little bit to a certain level, and then after that, it's gone. See what I'm trying to say, Jason? I hope
I
you
do.
Understand what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, I do. I completely understand that. And, you know, I've gone through that in life myself. You know, the passion, I thought it was great. It worked for a little bit. I got to a certain point, and then it's like, I don't know if I like this anymore. And when the passion was gone,
yeah.
everything else dwindled behind it.
Absolutely. How do we know that we're passionate? It's the same thing as falling in love. You know, everyone, at one point or another, fell in love with someone or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened when we fall in love, Jason? Well, we'll do anything and whatever it takes to be with the object of our desire.
Right.
Period. You know, I fell in love once with an Australian after doing a series of seminars in Australia and New Zealand. I went back to New Zealand to be with a woman that ended up not being the woman of my dreams. But, you know, I fell in love, and, you know, love, I feel love can make you stupid. But you know what? Love gives you the power and the fuel to achieve whatever you dream of, whatever you are falling in love with,
mm-hmm.
period. You know, love is not a woo-woo word. You know, a lot of people, I work with corporates, you know, the corporate executive world, and, you know, they're hardcore you know, egomaniacs sometimes. You know, they like to make money, but they also don't believe in the, you know, oh, yeah, what are you talking about?
Love.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about love, yes. The opposite of fear.
Right.
You know, love being here and now. Love. You don't love in the future. You don't love in the past. You love in the present. So you now, no wonder, and you know, people don't really appreciate and know what really what love is and how it feels, because they're not here. They're everywhere else but here.
And you know,
so
I've seen a lot of love, and I've, you know, where people want to do things, but they're scared of it. And it, when you can overcome that,
of course,
you know, because they're afraid of failing, they're afraid of it not working out. But they, and then they look at that as a failure, and that, to me, that's not a failure, because you at least tried. The only version of failure I believe in is not trying at all, because then you'll never know if you ever had the chance of making it work.
Of course, you know, death is. You know, sometimes failure, you know, is giving up is worse than death, because at least when you're dead, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But when you give up, you know, you're going to live with it the rest of your life. See what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do.
And as it comes to, you know, it's pertinent to fear, fear is the opposite of love. Fear resides in the past or in the future. It cannot reside in the present moment. So when you're in fear, you're not in love. So we as human beings, we keep on 24/7 on stepping in fear and stepping out of it, okay? So from fear to love, from fear to love, like a dance, you know, all day long. You know, well, you know what? The result of your life is going to be based on how much time you're going to spend in fear or how much time you're going to spend in love. And that's a choice that you completely have and can control. You know,
that's
you've
true.
Got to make the choice of living in the present in that love mode. I call that a love state of being, instead of living in a fear state of mind. Get out of your head, because if you stay in your head, you're not going to achieve much.
That's true.
Because you're going to be pushed away by fear all the time. Every time you see something that is not familiar, you want to do or meet somebody or a job, you're going to, you know, let it go, and you're going to be afraid of doing it because you're afraid of succeeding. But I think that the biggest reason is you're not being mindful. You know.
Mm-hmm. You know, you just said something really interesting. There is the fear of succeeding. Some people are actually fear success so much that they actually can self-sabotage themselves.
Of course, and that is a subconscious. You know, you don't really see people saying, okay, I'm afraid of success, so therefore I'm going to give up. No. Consciously, they'll never say that.
Right.
But they're driven by the subconscious mind, which is controlling everything. And then, they like you said, they sabotage without consciously knowing. They're sabotaging their efforts. You know, and that happened in a way with weight loss, too. I mean, when people start a diet, they do it long enough, maybe 2-3 weeks, and they're seeing some results, and then they give up because they're afraid. You know, the lady who's afraid to look fantastic because she's afraid that she's going to be having too much, you know, being bothered by too many men, or the guy that is finding, you know, a job, the job of his dreams, and comes home after an interview and says, I don't know if I can do it. I really don't know if I can do it. This is a lot of responsibilities, a lot of, you know, and so subconsciously they just give up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a subconscious thing. So what I say to people, you have to be, you know, to outsmart your subconscious mind. And how do you outsmart your subconscious mind, Jason? By being in the present moment, you know, gathering evidence and facts about what you want to do, putting a plan together, and just follow it without intellectualizing it, without asking yourself the question, can I do it? Will I be doing it? You know what I mean? All those questions are irrelevant when you have a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
But first, you need to be passionate about whatever you choose to do, have, or be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you've said a lot of amazing things there, and a lot of it we radiate right here on this radio show. So I'm glad you're able to come out here and validate what I've been saying too along the way. And you also are a high performance coach. You obviously help people with, you know, a lot of different things in their lives, for success, and business and health and everything else. So we only got about 2 minutes left, and I'd really love for you to be able to tell people some of the things that you can do and where they can find you to look you up in case they have some questions or they want to hire you to help them out.
Yes. You know, I work with the corporate world, but I work with the entertainment business, and everyone else, you know. And I use, you know, wellness and fitness and health to help people recharge and rejuvenate their lives. You know, and there's a concept in my teaching called, you know, the power focus and creative recharge, based on a principle that allows the people who are doing it to get in shape and do the things that they normally wouldn't do, and be performant in an 8-hour day, you know, instead of, you know, not being able to work out because it's too late after work and not having the time. So eliminate the time and I help them use what we call energy, and that is mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual energy, so they can be high performance and high productivity people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can find me at executiveinnerfitness.com, executiveinnerfitness.com, and also at Arizona Wellness Retreats.com, executiveinnerfitness.com, or arizonawellnessretreats.com. So I offer retreats and coaching and speaking. So everything that I do is to help people rejuvenate, recharge, and balance their life work. Their lives between life and work. So that's what I do, Jason.
Mm. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on here, saying some amazing things, and I really hope people take what you said to heart and use it in their own lives, because it is important. And we stand by that, and that's one of the things that we focus on this show. So thank you for coming on and validating what we've been saying all along. And we wish you all the best, and I hope that you're able to help a lot more people along the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for having me. And to the listeners, you know, go for your dreams. Go for it, and don't question it.
I like that, and that's a great way to end this thing. So thank you for coming on and being a great guest. And, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after this, so don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Marshall Hilton from Primal Rage, and you're listening to AME Radio with your host, Jason. Kick butt, Jason!
Won't you pick the pieces?
All right, everybody, we are back, and we're closing out the show. And if you want to be able to hear our show again, we are on again tomorrow, and there's a replay of this show tomorrow as well. So all you have to do is go to amfm247.com every Friday morning at 6 a.m. and every Saturday night at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 different guests per show, wklap.com every Friday at 12 and every Saturday at 7, radiolove.com, that's luv.com, every Saturday night at 9 p.m., Phoenix Broadcasting, iHeart and iTunes networks. All right, guys, we'll see you again tomorrow. Have a great night. Keep those creative juices flowing.
That's the end?
We're done. Calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? That's it.